the name of Jesus, our faithful Savior, who promised and sent the Holy Spirit, dearly redeemed, we're meditating on that gospel lesson from John chapter 14. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Holy Spirit, come again as you promised through all the prophets and again through Jesus Christ our Lord, as you did on that first Pentecost. Grant us the gift of true repentance, that faith that trusts in Jesus for forgiveness, glorifies your name in the world, and is a blessing to all we know. Help us, dear Holy Spirit, God of truth. Amen. So honestly speaking, if you had followed Jesus of Nazareth for 3 years and watched all his miracles, watched him fulfill one prophecy of the Messiah after another, listened to his preaching and his prayers, and then saw him crucified on a Roman cross with your own Jewish religious leaders screaming for his blood, he's dead. The one you thought would be the Messiah. If you and I were there, don't you think we probably would also be hiding behind closed doors? That would be so terrorizing, not just for your body and your mind, but deep down inside your soul. This affects everything. This affects your eternity. Terrible disappointment. And Jesus knows it's all coming. He's been warning them for 3 years about this. They just keep forgetting. You know what happened. He tells them he's going to die and rise again. They don't even hear the rise again part. Then they want to argue with him about dying. And the next thing you know, all the disciples are off arguing about which of them is the greatest. What else is new for us, huh? Every heart wants to be the greatest. Every self wants to be the only self around. Jesus, selfless Messiah. What we have in the gospel account of John, the fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are sermons of Jesus that he's preaching to his disciples on Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, getting them ready for this trauma that's coming. So in the Evangelical Heritage version that I'm using here, the EHV, chapter 14 is entitled, No Greater Love in Peace. And Jesus begins the chapter, Do not let your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. See what he's doing? And you think, well, what is that going to do? He's just saying, don't be troubled. This is not like when somebody tells you, oh, it'll all work out. Everything's going to be okay. They don't know. Always these heroes in our modern culture promising, I'm going to make sure you're safe. And then, of course, somebody's not safe. How do you make a promise like that? But see, when the Lord gives a command like, let there be light, there was light. And when the Lord says, don't be troubled, his command takes your troubled heart to a place of peace. That's what he's doing today. It's a powerful word. And that's why we're here, to march victorious with the Spirit. In this chapter 14 of John, Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Don't ignore God's Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying some awesome things here. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. What? If you were one of Jesus' disciples listening to that, wouldn't you have some questions? They're asking one right after another. And Jesus is answering in his own way. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture? They ask a question and then you look at Jesus' answer and you wonder, is he really answering the question? I compare this to, if you've ever climbed up a rock face on a mountain, I could never use equipment, but you know, one that's good for amateurs, to get up and you're coming just over the top and you're expecting maybe to see the top and there's another rock face in front of you. The South Sister Cascade Mountains outside of Bend, Oregon, like that. There's a false summit and you get to the top. Oh, you got to climb a little farther. It was really hard to get this far. And you have to climb up around a little bit farther and you're looking down into this beautiful blue crater. Those mountains are all volcanic craters. And then there's a big notebook up there with the biggest wing nuts on it I've ever seen, because everybody that climbs the mountains has to, you know, sign the book. But it's the same way. You don't come up there expecting that, and then Jesus takes you up into his answer, and he spreads this whole view out in front of you. He's giving you more than you asked for. Always, when we come to God's word, he gives us more than we could ask for, more than we could imagine. And it's the truth here. They're asking questions, and finally there's one from Judas, not Iscariot, called Thaddeus, I think, in Matthew's gospel account. He says, Lord, what has happened that you are going to show yourself to us and not to the world? What's this about? Here's Jesus' answer. It's our text. He answered him, if anyone loves me, he will hold on to my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who does not love me does not hold on to my words. The word that you are hearing is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. Hold on to here is an okay translation. A lot better than the old NIV that said obey, obey, obey. It was terrible. It's not a good translation of the Greek word. The new ones say keep, which is typically what the King James said. But if you hear keep with your modern English words, you think obey. King James English, keep, was a tower. The keeper was the person with the keys. They were guarding royal prisoners and royal jewels in that tower. And the word keep literally means to guard and treasure. Much better here. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus is saying? If anyone loves me, he will guard and treasure my word. He doesn't want children to learn Sunday school lessons outside of life as if they're not connected. He doesn't want catechism students to just memorize, memorize, memorize. He wants them to be able to apply this as we do throughout our life to real life, as the living word that's always there saying the same thing, but fitting the place in life where you find yourself at the time. It's awesome. Treasure that word. In the agape love, sure enough, there it is. You know that it doesn't just say God loves us unconditionally and God demonstrated his own love for us in this while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's agape love. He also tells us to love him unconditionally. And Jesus is saying, if you are treasuring God's word, then unconditionally. What does that mean? You all know it. Because sometimes don't you find it hard to love God? If maybe things didn't work out the way you wanted them to, and you're asking, why me, Lord? And you're praying your heart out about something, and it's just not happening, and then you're wondering, is God hearing my prayers? Does he care about me? Does he love me? Agape love from us means, God, I'm going to love you no matter what happens in my life, because Jesus died for me, because he rose for me, because I'm baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I'm all yours, Lord, and you're all mine. Hold on to the word. I like that story of the little boy. Some of you will remember that. It's actually the theme of Hermann Gockel's devotion book, My Hand in His, the theme story in there. About the little boy walking on an icy sidewalk to church with his father, you know, back when they used to walk to church. And he slips and he falls. And the father tries to take the little guy's hand, and the boy says, no, Dad, I'll hang on to your hand. Okay. Sure enough, he slips and falls again. The third time, the little boy gets up and says, here, Daddy, you take my hand. I'm too small. There's just times we can't hang on. We need him to hang on to us. In a personal way, I can remember as a young preacher having heard a comment by a professor at our teacher's college, which was DMLC right at the time. And the professor said, master your material, which works in other subjects. It does not work in God's word. You can't master this. preach everything here in one sermon or a lifetime. Now, I've learned to pray over time working with God's word, Lord, let this word master me. I need you to take hold of me. That's the prayer. As we march victorious with the Spirit and we're treasuring God's word. Because that's the word that's so full of promise. If you haven't heard this before, you're listening online the first time or a recording of this 10 years from now, and you've never investigated the promises of the Old Testament, oh, you're missing something. Your faith in Jesus doesn't hang out there in midair. It's connected to hundreds of detailed promises throughout the Old Testament, given by the Holy Spirit through the prophets. They don't know what's coming. In Peter's gospel, one of the epistles of Peter, he says that the Old Testament prophets actually searched their own writings to see where the Holy Spirit in them was pointing. They went back and searched what God had them write and what the other prophets of the Old Testament were writing. Where is the Messiah? When is he coming? What will he be like? The suffering and the dying. 1,000 years before Christ. I love that one. Because Jesus has done it already, and it wasn't me, but he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the last verse of Psalm 22, for he has done it. And you study Psalm 22 and you look at John 19 where Jesus is dying on the cross and Matthew and Mark record those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you realize that Psalm 22 is Jesus hanging on the cross and looking out at those who are crucifying him for you and me. He knew it was coming. He knew it in detail. He knew what the suffering would be, as only God eternal can know. And still he pressed on. He wants you and me to have the assurance of those promises so that we have a solid faith that treasures the word of God and march victorious with the Spirit. And we can be busy then consulting the counselor. Jesus says, I've told you these things while staying with you, but the counselor, in Greek, that's the paraclete. I didn't say parakeet. I said paraclete. That's the counselor in the Greek, the one that, it's the friend who stands beside you with the arm around your shoulder, listening and helping and counseling, somebody that's walking with you, close to you, beside you. That's the counselor here. That's the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He proceeds from both the Father and the Son, as the word says. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I told you. Oh boy, that answers a big question. John is writing decades after Jesus spoke the words. As far as we know, he's the fourth gospel account to be written. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written before. How could he remember all the words that Jesus said? They didn't have recorders. They didn't have it written down back then yet. They had to write it. Answer? The Holy Spirit told them what to write, the exact words. Nobody could remember it that way. Nobody could write like that. It wouldn't even be possible. But you study those words and you look at them and God is bringing you this comfort through the Holy Spirit, through his apostle John in this case, and telling you these words. The Holy Spirit is with you, beside you. Have you ever had to face off with bullies in your life? It isn't just the kids that have bullies in school sometimes. You might have one in your neighborhood, one among your relatives. Like to talk a lot, like to embarrass everybody, and you try to avoid the argument and stay away. Dead End Street where we lived in my youth, there was one summer that all of a sudden a nice grandma down the street, her two grandsons that came to visit that year, they were not very nice. They were bullies and bigger than me and my brothers. But we also had a visitor that year. She was quite a tomboy and she was bigger than all of us boys. All she had to do was call them out and they ran away. I always thought that was kind of cool. We talked about that for years afterwards. Oh, yeah, we'd like to have her around more. That's how the Holy Spirit is. He's there to call out the enemies of Christ's people and promising that the day will come when there will be silence from all of them. You feel, don't you, at times like right now, like the enemies of the cross and the enemies of everything good are just marching across the land. They're marching in pride against the Creator and against His commands. You know what I'm saying. Look at Revelation chapter 20. There's a verse in there about how the enemies of the rider on the white horse are marching out across the whole world. And the second half of the verse says, and fire came down from heaven and destroyed them all. That's it. When the last of the elect has heard the word of God and come to faith by the gospel, whether listened from the ears or that word-powered water of baptism according to God's promise, that last elect is in, the last trumpet will sound, the fire from heaven will come down. And that's the end of the time of grace. That's why the Lord says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as they did in the rebellion. Today is the day of salvation when the counselor is teaching and reminding and calling us. He says He will teach you and remind you of everything I told you. Does He remind you of your need for wisdom? Remind you of His promise to give the wisdom at the right time? Jesus said to His disciples, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The hymn writer picked that up. Want we wisdom, He must give it, hearing ears and seeing eyes. So you want wisdom? It often comes from fellow Christians. Having recently celebrated our 41st wedding anniversary, I look back to when Cindy and I first started dating. And my dear sister Ruth, who introduced us, brought a letter that weekend from Cindy. And I was troubled after I read it. She says, what's wrong? It was such a sweet letter. And I'm feeling nervous. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. And Ruth says, Mark, don't you remember what you told me? No, I confessed. She says, go ahead and trust the Lord. He can take care of your love life. Huh. Does this ring a bell for you? God is love. Can He take care of your love life? Yeah. I'll testify to that all these years later. Treasure God's word. March with the Spirit. And consult with the counselor for fellow Christians like in our fellowship time. Or fellow Christians like your congregation right now needs the wisdom from above. You see all the stakes all over the property. Some of you know that Hodgson Road here, Highway 49, will be redesigned. Drainage is needed, easement. We have some major decisions to make about this property in consultation with the county, who could condemn it and take by eminent domain, but don't want to. The representatives have really been really good. Surprisingly, working with us, but we have to say our prayers and guard the future of our congregation to expand and do what we need to do to lift high the cross in this place. But we don't know the future. We don't know the end from the beginning. We can only plan as best we can and pray God to bless it. So please, pray for wisdom, not only for us, but for the county engineers and the designers, so that what ends up happening here is an improvement, not just for our neighbors, we know that's important, but for our congregation. Because the Lord knows the end from the beginning, and He can do more than we can ask or imagine, and we need His wisdom now. Please ask for it, pray for it, and thank the Lord that The unity of the Spirit that he has given us so far is unity in discussion, as we have honest opinions being voiced in respect and love, and we pray for unity in decision when that finally comes. All of God's blessing, as he says, marked victorious with the Spirit, finally enjoying God's peace. I love how this last verse takes away your fear. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not let it be afraid. Again, don't be troubled. I give you this peace. Do you realize that since ancient times, church fathers like Francis of Assisi, and even Dr. Martin Luther, hiding away in the Wartburg Castle, 16th century Germany, hiding from the Roman Catholic authorities that wanted to execute him for preaching repentance in God's word, they looked around them at nature, coupled with the word of God, and saw great lessons in the birds. Since we're outside today, I thought maybe we ought to consider some of these lessons from the birds. Have you ever watched an eagle soaring, or let's say landed somewhere high up, and heard the eagle sing? No. Vultures, do they sing? No. What's that squawking noise across the fields of the farmers in these northern suburbs? Oh, those sand cranes. They're huge. They look like prehistoric birds. No song. It isn't even the pretty birds that sing the best songs. It's the little ones, the plain ones, out of the mouths of babes and nursing children, Jesus says, God has ordained praise. Have you ever heard sweeter praise than comes from little children? Of all ages, still singing, I am Jesus, little lamb, into the years. The best singers. And what about the reflection of those birds? Do they see reflection? Not always. They fly right into a window. You know, that's bad, but there was a beautiful goldfinch outside my office window some years ago. I don't know what his problem was, but he didn't just look in the window. He went after it with his beak. I just don't think he liked his looks. Or else it's a territorial thing. You know how people guard their own turf and nations guard their own turf or attack somebody else's turf? Everybody wants what everybody else has. I think you can sometimes see it in the birds. He finally went away, probably gone by now, but. And not long after that, there was this hard, not just tapping, it was a hard rapping at the family room window downstairs, and I look out and there's a lonely sand crane standing there, and I'm wondering if he's going to break the glass. About that time, somebody told me about a gaggle of turkeys that attacked the neighbor's patio door and took out the glass. It doesn't take much. Well, you shoo him away and you wonder, is he just lonely? Is he looking for a mate? What's going on? How can loneliness attack your life? It doesn't help to tap on the window in your lonely, lonely life. It's hard for everybody. But I think the worst was the little robin this year. Oh, sitting on the tree outside my window and just flying into that window over and over again. What was she doing except hurting herself? Till my better half said, you know, if you just tape a piece of paper in the window, maybe she'll realize she, okay. We had to move the paper a few times, but she finally stopped. And you know, if birds could write in a journal, maybe she'd go home and write in her journal, can't go there, no family there, I don't like myself, I don't like how I look. Isn't that our problem? It brings us turmoil. Whether things are going on in your life or the sun is shining or whatever it is, But I think it helps to remember the dear Holy Spirit to march victorious in the Word and enjoy God's peace like the birds can teach us to. Luther's favorite preacher, outside his window, little bird, singing his heart out to his Creator all day long. And as the shadows gather in the evening, he tucks his little head under his tiny wing and goes to sleep hanging onto the branch, trusting the Creator who promises to send his holy angels all through the night. One more, that contest between two artists to paint the perfect picture of peace. Say that real fast. Paint the perfect picture of peace. Year later, come back. One of them has the typical scene of the fields and nature and everything so beautiful, everything in its place, not a leaf stirring. Oh, what peace. And the other one? The other artist painted a raging rapid with the white water flashing by so you could almost hear it through the painting and feel the mist coming off the rapids. And when you look close, there on a tiny branch right above the raging water, a little bird singing his heart out to the Creator. Not a care in the world, certain death beneath, but still praising the Lord. See the picture? When you're in the midst of it, realizing your life is really never going to slow down, not till you get to heaven. It's not going to be heaven until you get to heaven. And these people who talk about the good old days, tell them, really, it never was that good. But you can sing in the middle of trauma. You can sing when you remember the Lord says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. Think on these things and march victorious with the Spirit in the Word." In Jesus' precious name, amen.